This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, we're back. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. We're going to talk a little bit about the bear season that just wrapped up at 9 o'clock last night. And that doesn't mean they hunted till 9 o'clock. That means that they reported their bears from yesterday's hunt, and they hit the goal. Between 85 and 110 bears were targeted. That was the allocation for this year. 92 bears were actually taken. Biggest one, congratulations to John Fink of Oakland, was a 452-pound male bear, a boar, that he took in, I'm going to guess, close to Oakland. The average live weight of the bears taken this year was 160 pound. So, but right now we're going to talk to Patrick in Elkridge. Hey, Pat, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Good. I thought you were going to Pennsylvania.
I am. We're moving a little slow this morning.
I hear you.
The escalator said to call him when I get up there.
I got you.
And get that taken care of, and then spend the afternoon bow hunting.
Good for you. So nice seeing you the other day. Did you see anything on the county park?
There is nothing moving. I didn't hear anybody that saw anything.
I heard no shots. The bow hunters didn't shoot anything. I saw one spike buck about 8:30. They came into 10 yards and was feeding along, and it was a year and a half old spike, but he had one spike about half the length of his ear, and the other one was about an inch long. And I thought, you know what, buddy, you're going to walk today.
Good.
So, yeah.
That was a good call.
Yes, indeed. So,
you didn't get a good look at that picture I sent you?
I did look at it. I couldn't see what you were telling me about it. It's a giant stag. Folks, Pat emailed me a picture of a sika deer stag. But I did look at it. What was I looking for?
Well, it's just a huge old deer.
Oh, it's a monster. Yeah. I didn't see a rack, though.
No, we were all speculating whether it was broken off. I mean, he's a bulldozer, and he's certainly strong enough to get in a fight and break him off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was kind of looking there in front of his left eye. Thought maybe there was an eye guard left on there or something wrapped down around his eye, but I don't know for sure. But, yeah, no, he was a tremendous tremendous stag. I mean, he had to be probably 15 years old.
I had some guys do some speculation, and one guy even said that he could possibly go about 150 pounds. That's huge.
That is a giant sika deer. That's a giant. Yeah. It'd be a shame to shoot him without a rack, though. That's just a tremendous, tremendous animal. Yeah.
That area is one of the oldest areas.
Oh, is it where they've been?
Yeah.
I got a picture of two that had tags in their ears, and I didn't track them down yet. I'll probably do that with Brian Eiler. But one of them, I think one of them was 12 years old. I think it was a doe, was 12 years old, and still had tags in her ears. They were taken in 2011 on the same property. One had two tags in its ear, and one had one. Both of them were a taxidermist, Don Travis, is over in over in Kent County.
Yeah, I saw one of those posted on that MWC website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, man. Yeah. That's unusual. And there's a big 8-pointer, too.
Down in your place?
No. I don't know who took that, but I saw that picture that posted on the website.
Really? 8-point sika. I haven't heard about that one. So. All right. Well, that's cool, man. Yeah. Well, good luck. Are you headed down there for sika this year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've already been
through this. I'm sure you have, yeah.
I put in a lot of time and didn't see very much, but
yeah.
I hope we don't get too flooded the last time that the water got pushed up in the bay. Our whole camp flooded.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not looking real good, unfortunately. So.
Yes, sir. Giving it a break this weekend, headed up to the mountains.
There you go. All right, Pat. I was supposed to, I talked to a guy about going for sika deer this year, but or this week, but I think discretion is going to be the better part of valor on that deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so, that's a good move. Yeah. Wise.
Yeah, so. All right, buddy.
Okay,
thanks,
good
Pat.
You.
Good luck. See you.
Bye-bye.
He sounds a little tired there, doesn't he? Yeah, he sure does. All right, we're talking about the bear season. 92 bears were taken, 82 from Garrett County, 10 from Allegheny County. The average weight was 160 pounds. 67% of the bears were taken on private land. There were 693 hunters participating, which means landowners and sub-permittees went along with the people that were actually drawn for the permit. 4,027 hunters applied for the permit, including me. The Maryland Natural Resources Police charged 22 individuals with violations during the black bear season. Charges including failure to wear fluorescent orange. I have no idea why anybody would not wear their orange. The bear can't see you. Their eyes are horrible. You got to fool their nose, not their eyes. Hunting black bears with the aid of bait and baiting on state-owned lands. I guess they don't get the clue yet that you can't put donuts out, or you can't put corn out, or you can't, you know, have a bear visit your deer feeder. It doesn't work that way. So anyway, here we are. 22 individuals. Paul Alfred Bittinger of Oakland. John Preston Carnes Jr. of Hagerstown. Myron Lee Draper of Williamsport. Myron Lee Draper III of Williamsport. Jimmy Torres Lietio of Leesburg, Virginia. Jose Bento Miljero of Sterling, Virginia. Larry Nestline of Bittinger. Jose Manuel Nito of Laurel. Joaquim Cosieco Nunez of Silver Spring. Fernando Lopez Duarte of Laurel. William Matthew Hebler of Swanton. David Wayne Hepler of Edgewater, Charles Donald Klein of Glen Burnie, Michael Lawrence Miller of Knoxville, Richard Lee Montgomery of Westernport, Edward John Mylinski of Parkton, Jose Manuel Ocalas of Rosedale, Kevin Yeager of Nottingham, Franklin Paul Skiffer of Swanton, Robert Lee Thomas of Harwood, Robert Lee Thomas Jr. of Harwood, Roger Wayne Tracy, Jr. of Manchester, and Donald Lee Apole, Sr. of Oakland. This is for you, boys.
Just a good old boy.
Scofflaws.
Never mean no harm.
Dumbass.
Beats all you never saw.
Trying to get an advantage on a poor bear.
They was bold. Straightening the curves. Lightening the hills.
Baiting the bear.
Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.
Oh, yes, it will.
Making their way.
Hey, don't wear your orange, dumbass. Just be a large mammal moving through the woods in bear season.
Well, that's just
good
a
idea.
Bit and the law will
in
allow.
The dark. All right, enough of that. We are taking your phone calls here. We're giving a muzzleloader away. And, emails are coming in. Look at that. Firefighter, Baltimore City, natural disasters, people running out their prescription medicine. Then they end up needing to call 911 because their blood pressure's up or their sugar's out of control. Takes much-needed resources away from disaster response, John in Baltimore. You know, why is that? A good one. Let's see who this one is. Love to get in the muzzleloader contest. You are in. Let me write your name down here. Chuck. And phone number. What a great show. I've listened since January 89. Boy, that's almost the beginning. December 17th, 88 is when we went in the air. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you, Chuck. Very nice. Nice to hear from you again. Let's see. Who else we got here? There's John. Good morning, Alan. Any of these callers know this is Hunting and Fishing Show. All righty. Well. Yes, I can't read that one on the air, John. But yes, you are in the contest. Let's see. I'll need your phone number if you win. I love getting email. Let's talk to Jerry in Timonium. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
I just want to say hi and enter the contest.
Okay, you're in there.
I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And you had a very interesting first hour this morning.
Oh, I always try to. Yeah, that's all right. I like them all. You know, what could I say?
I do have a quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is it true that the mass is a predictor of potentially foul weather, you know, in terms of.
What is?
The mass, the oak mass.
Oh, well. Mast is every other year. Heavy mast crop is every other year. The oaks produce some acorns every year, but for the most part, the mast crop is an every other year thing. So I don't know if that's entirely accurate, but I do know such things as wildlife activity. If you see a lot of squirrels that have been bred, and I saw there's a lot of squirrels this year. You see their activity. Usually that portends for some colder weather. The thickness of the hair. I'm seeing that. That's a predictor. I saw the feathers on some of the geese in the resident season were just absolutely. It's amazing to me they didn't smother to death as warm as it's been because of the thickness of the feathers. And I think things like that are more indicative than the mast crop. I would say that maybe if somebody were able to measure the skins on the acorns for thickness, they might be able to predict a little bit better. I don't put much stock in the woolly caterpillars and that type of thing, but I do watch animal activity. I do watch things like the thickness of the hide. I do watch that type of thing. But there are clues in nature. Yes, there are.
I do notice that my oak trees are really producing a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of squirrel activity, as you said.
Yeah, well, that could be part of that. Could be the increase in the mast crop, the acorn crop. But if you're seeing more squirrels than you've seen, that's a potential right there.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, and once again, thanks for all you do, and have a good week.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate the call.
Okay.
Bye bye. There he goes. All right. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I want to get into this white paper that just came out this week. I heard about it a week or 10 days ago, and it was the actual public. What should I say? Release of this. It was embargoed till Thursday at noon until the board of the Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Foundation had a chance to look at the white paper, comment on it, make additions and corrections. But I have it in my hot little hand, and it will be on the website. It will be on the Maryland Hunting Quarterly website homepage here next week. But this talks about raising hunting fees. And let's see. Is Gary ready to go? Gary, good morning. Gary?
Yeah.
How are you? You're on.
Oh, how you doing, Alan?
Good.
Yeah, I try to listen to you as much as I can, but I don't normally work on Saturdays, but I want to run up here to Frederick and take care of some of my stops and, so I can stay close to home. I got water issues at the house. When they're talking about this storm, I probably need to be close to the house. Unless
right.
I got to start a generator up or something, you know.
Right.
But anyhow, I try to listen to you as much as I can, but I'm usually not this up this early on Saturday morning. But I wanted to tell you about the largest deer I ever saw.
Okay.
I saw it in Harford County. And oddly enough, I wasn't hunting at the time. I was on my motorcycle. And you know where Robin Hood Road is?
Yep.
I turned up Robin Hood Road, and a friend of mine lived down off of Robin Hood Road, so you had to go down a dirt road to get to his house. And just before you got to his house, there was like an apple orchard, a peach orchard right there.
Okay.
And I was on my motorcycle, and I rode down through there. And, man, I seen this deer. He was so big, it startled me. I thought he was going to come over and bite me. He was so huge.
I mean, no, I'll tell you what.
He just looked like he was an old guy, and I'm telling you, he was huge. I've seen a lot of deer in the state because I drive all the time.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one that big.
We have little pockets in this state where deer are allowed to grow and get old and, you know, be unharassed by hunters and that type of thing. And some of these mature bucks that you see are tremendous. I mean, just tremendous size. I've seen one, what I would consider, I saw one, two. I would say in my hunting career here in Maryland, span 30 years, I have seen two extremely large deer. One big non-typical 12-point that I did not get a shot at. He walked in behind me one early muzzleloader season, and I was out of position. I didn't get a shot at him. I could have shot him. He stopped behind a tree. I could have shot him right in the butt and probably would have killed the deer, you know, with a femoral artery shot, but I respected that animal too much to do that. And, I mean, I had a perfect broadside shot at less than 50 yards and did not take it. Front shoulder was behind the tree. Tremendous buck. Huge. That deer was old and large. The other large deer that I saw, his body was so large that it just overshadowed his rack, which was a good rack. And when I saw that deer walking through the laurel, I said, that deer reminds me of a Dodge minivan driving through there. He was blocky. I'm serious. He was blocky and stocky. And I just looked at this buck and I thought, I could shoot this deer. I have a muzzleloader. That deer's not that far away. But I didn't, you know, I was looking for a pretty good size rack at the time. And this deer had a good rack, but his body size just overwhelmed the size of the rack. The rack did not look as big as it could have been, and I'm sure it was a really decent deer. And I didn't shoot him, but he just impressed me. I'll never forget that deer. So, you know, the biggest buck I've ever killed, field dressed, 196 pound. He probably weighed close to 240 when I shot him.
That's a real big deer.
That's a big deer.
I'll be honest with you, I'm not much of a hunter. I'm more into fishing than anything else.
Yeah. Well, you know what you know what you're looking at when you see it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love venison, and all my friends hunt stuff. So I don't have to get out the woods and kill them because I get plenty of venison from my friends. But I'll tell you, I heard a statistic. They said there's more deer now in the eastern United States than there was when white man first came here.
Well, that's probably true. We've created perfect habitat for them. Exactly.
Yeah.
So. All right, Gary, appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you very much.
I enjoy your show, and have a great day, my friend.
You too, buddy. Thanks. See ya. There goes Gary. All right, time for me to take a quick break, and then I'll talk about this. Hunting is a privilege that costs. That's an analytical perspective, and it's very, very detailed. It's a lot of pages, and I'll get into that in just a minute. But time now for me to tell you about a couple of our sponsors, Sean Mann. Outdoors, SeanMann.com. Sean is a world champion goose caller, champion of champions, designed and started to market his call, the Eastern Shoreman, 1985. It's been around a long time. So, that being said, if you want to call geese, if you want to learn to call geese, the Eastern Shoreman is a great call to start with. And you can find that online at SeanMann.com, SeanMann.com, or you can call the office, 800-345-4539. If you look online, you can see all the different styles and colors and camos and you name it, wood versions and that type of thing. Sean Mann is a friend, and Sean has made a career out of hunting waterfowl, not only in the U.S., but in Canada as well. He has a great hunting camp up there. So why not call him? He'll be back in town shortly, and you can call him and talk to his crew at the office there in Talbot County at 800-345-4539. Maybe you can book a hunt with Sean either this year during the season or in Canada next. So we always like to talk about Sean Mann and the Eastern Shoreman call. And don't forget, he makes all kinds of duck calls and snow goose calls. Every kind of waterfowl call imaginable is available at Sean Mann Outdoors. Check out the website. You'll be glad you did. Now, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. They're your full-line Browning dealer. Now, they carry the great Browning Pump Shotgun, the BPS, available in wood, which is a satin-finished wood stock. It comes in 12, 16, 20, 28, and 410 gauge for a pump shotgun. It carries three Invector Plus chokes with the 12 and 20, and three Invector chokes with all the other gauges, the 16, the 28, and the 410. So you've got your variety of chokes there. You've got a bottom ejection pump shotgun, which is good if you're in a goose blind and you happen to be on the left side. You're not shooting shell casings in the face of the guys to the right. So you got this bottom ejection, and it is a very, very functional shotgun. For deer hunters who are hunting in the rifle counties, the X-Bolt is a great shotgun, extremely accurate bolt-action big-game hunting perfection. Standard Magnum and short calibers are available. It has an adjustable feather trigger and a detachable rotary magazine. Now, I shoot its forerunner, the A-Bolt, and I love that in 300 mag. The Maxis shotgun for waterfowl hunters are also available. Auto-loader shotgun available in Maxi Amasi Oak Duck Blind camo, and it is 3 or 3.5-inch chambers. The new power drive gas system reduces recoil on the Maxis shotgun. And don't forget, Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer. It carries all the shotguns for sporting clays and trap, the Synergy, the Gold, the Silver, the BT-99, the BPS, the BAR, the BLR, the Buckmark handguns as well. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. ClydeSports.com is the website. Full line of... full complement of gunsmithing services, scope mounting, bore sighting, and licenses as well. Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Glenn Crespo. What's in a name when it comes to movie titles? Thousands, maybe millions of dollars. Studio executives and writers say coming up with an original title is increasingly challenging since many of the good ones are taken. Titles aren't protected by copyright law except in specific cases where a name can be shown to have developed secondary meaning in the public's view, such as Star Wars. There are currently 150,000 titles in the Motion Picture Association's registry, 85,000 of which are attached to movies that haven't even been made yet. Pretty Woman was called 3,000, the dollar amount Richard Gere's character pays for a week of services from a prostitute played by Julia Roberts. But marketers worried the title sounded too sci-fi and changed it to the name of the Roy Orbison song featured in the movie. The Descendants, about a drug-addicted pregnant woman, was initially entitled Meet Ruth Stoops, but Miramax thought the title sounded like a horror film. Pacific Flight 121 almost became the title for Snakes on a Plane until star Samuel Jackson threw a fit. I'm Glenn Crespo with the Wall Street Journal.
You see and hear ad after ad about owning gold, but they raise more questions than they answer. That's why American Bullion has created a comprehensive free gold guide packed with unbiased information about gold as an investment. Get the facts before you buy. Call American Bullion now for your free copy of the gold guide at 800-716-6878. That's 800-716-6878. Are you tired of stressing out about the economy and ready to take control of your retirement funds? American Bullion has a precise, tax-free, and hassle-free system to convert your existing IRA or former 401k into a gold IRA. That's why they're the leader in gold IRA rollovers. It's all spelled out in the free American Bullion Gold Guide that answers all of your questions in plain and simple English. Call for your free copy today at 800-716-6878. 800-716-6878. American Bullion. 800-716-6878.
Big Buck Scents Cold Scent has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks. Several friends of mine have used Cold Scent with great results. Big Bucks. Maryland's Eastern Shore is home to Big Buck Scents. Big Buck Cold Scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too. Plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Scents arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try Cold Scent Vanilla Bean, Doe in Heat, Dominant Buck, or Doe Pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website BigBuckScents.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use Cold Scent by Big Buck Scents.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your hands start shaking, your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rack, that grunt, that stare, that stomp will make you a believer. And buck fever.
Buck fever, baby. Well, I'll tell you what. On Wednesday when I was in Montgomery County, I had... I had a little spike buck come in. Now, this was Montgomery County, and the same thing happened in Howard County the next day. A little spike buck come in. I had the big buck sent out, and a little spike buck came in. He came in to about 10 yards, just straight, you know, he was downwind, and he came straight in. He was upwind, and he came straight downwind right to the scent. And stood there and looked at me for about 5 minutes, and, you know, finally he went away. But a little later on in the morning, I heard some commotion behind me. And, of course, you're in a tree stand. You have limited flexibility. But I was able to turn around, and almost directly behind me there was a lot of deer activity. And I saw a lot of deer moving, and I saw racks, you know, antlers waving in the wind and that type of thing. And they went out the other way, and below me was a floodplain. Well, when they were behind me, imagine this now, and they were behind me. They ran down over a little ridge. They ran across a floodplain. They circled, and they came back up to me, moving the whole time. No chance for an ethical shot. There was a doe who was being pursued by not one, not two, not three, not four, but five different bucks. There were two spike bucks, probably one of the ones the one I had seen earlier, a 4-point. There was something that looked like a pretty good 6-point and another one that had a little bit bigger rack, but nothing stood still long enough for me to get a good judgment on it to see if it was a shooter. And I was qualified. I got the bonus tag for being able to shoot a buck first that morning. And wasn't even able to take a doe because it just running like crazy. Poor deer, tongue hanging out. Five bucks pursued her. And so I thought, it's getting ready to start. The next day, prepared for the same type of activity, which was Thursday, not a deer moving. Nobody. 16 hunters in the field on a county park, on a 300-acre park. I think two of us saw one deer. That was it. You know, the weather can shut down the deer activity. I think the storm, particularly an east wind, a northeast wind is bad, a southeast wind is not quite as bad, but not real good. Any kind of east wind can shut down the deer movement. Sure, they're going to stay close to their beds. Yeah, they're going to feed. They're going to feed at night. We got a full moon. We got a storm. I'm not deer hunting until that thing's out of here, that storm's out of here, and that moon starts to wane a little bit, so... That's where we are with the deer hunting. But that will kick off. That will kick off the rut. If any of the activity I saw with the bucks chasing the does the other day is any indication of that. So some nice bucks were taken. A lot of guys saw bucks chasing and were able to get a standing shot at a doe. I just wasn't one of those. So, all right, let me get into this a little bit here. And we're still taking calls on the muzzleloader and so we got to, you know, we'll get to that shortly. But Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Foundation came out with a white paper called "Hunting is a Privilege That Costs." It's an analytical perspective, and it talks about what DNR is responsible for, the management and conservation of the state's wildlife resources, including approximately one dozen primary game species and hundreds of rare, threatened, endangered plants and animals. The department manages 112,000 acres of land, making up 47 public wildlife management areas. DNR indicates that increased cost and declining special fund balances have seriously constrained the department's ability to provide basic levels of service for wildlife conflicts, land management, hunting programs, wildlife conservation, wildlife-related enforcement. DNR indicates that it will not be able to maintain current staffing levels and operations without revenue increases. The reserve balance, this is important, in the State Wildlife Management and Protection Fund, which receives license and stamp fee revenue and provides a significant portion of DNR's Wildlife and Heritage Services funding, as well as funding for DNR's Natural Resources Police, has declined. Declined, hunters, from $2.5 million at the end of fiscal 2010 to a projected $400,000 by the end of fiscal 2013. Now, let's say you have a savings account, okay? You have $2,500 in your savings account. That's reasonable to assume, isn't it? You have $2,500. All right. In 3 years, your savings declines to $400. You can't quite do as much with it as you could when you had $2,500, can you? You cannot. That's right. And that's the ratio. That's what we're talking about here. The decline from DNR's Wildlife and Heritage Services funding, as well as funding for DNR's Natural Resources Police, has declined from $2.5 million. The funding has declined from $2.5 million to $400,000 at the end of fiscal 2013. Let me put it another way. Let's say you make $25,000. Okay, $25,000. That's not even a really good living, but let's say that's what you make, $25,000. Now, 3 years later, you make $4,000. Can you go as far on that? No, you can't. And that's what's going on. Now, what's happened here is Senator John Astle sent a series of questions in Section 1 of this white paper to on September 10th, Senator John Astle, Senate co-chair of the bipartisan Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Caucus within the Maryland General Assembly, requested certain information pertinent to hunting license fees from the General Assembly's independent staff agency, which is the Department of Legislative Services, DLS. Noteworthy is the fact that Senator Astle phrased the questions with an attendant rationale. On October 1st, 2012, a little less than a month ago, DLS responded, Section 1, it asked the question, Section 2 is the answer. The question, what has been the ratio of general fund support to special fund support for the service over the last 10 years in terms of actual dollar amounts? How has the service been impacted, if any, by other budgetary actions, inclusive, if applicable, of decisions by the governor / Board of Public Works, consistent with, and all that on it goes, and ask all these questions, okay? There are a lot of questions, six questions. The department comes back and answers the Federal Aid and Wildlife Restoration Act. It talks about an audit. It talks about the general funds, the special funds, how much funding is available. And I'm not going to get into all the numbers and bore you with it because you can read this for yourself. This will be on the Maryland Hunting Quarterly website early next week. And if you have any questions about it, feel free to email it to me. I'll be more than glad to email you the entire document if you'd like to see it in its entirety, if you are a stakeholder or if you have an interest in how our department is funded and why I have been supportive of a hunting license increase to the great detriment, among my fellow sportsmen. Why I support it, because I understand that there's no money. Let's talk to Amy in Reisterstown. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Okay. You?
I'm good. You're up early.
Oh, well, I'm up early every Saturday morning.
I hear you. So are you calling in to win the muzzleloader, Amy?
Yes, I am.
Well, you're in there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. So you've been all right? How's the hubby?
He's coming along slowly but surely, Alan.
And how are you feeling?
If I had some energy, I'd be all right.
Yeah, I hear you.
Don't have no energy. Get out of the bed.
Sorry to hear that. Well.
Uh-huh.
All right, sweetie. Well, I'll call you this week, okay?
Okay.
All right. You watch that storm.
Okay. I love you.
Love you too, Amy. Bye-bye. There goes Amy. Gerald. Good morning, Gerald. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing,
sir? I'm good. What's up?
I just wanted to get in that muzzle loader drawing contest.
All right. You're in it.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. There he goes. Let's talk to Joseph in Glen Burnie. Is Joseph ready there on line three? Not yet. Okay. All right. We'll get there shortly. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. This document is 9 pages. I'm not going to read it all, but let me assure you that Senator Astell, who is an avid hunter, who's been chairman of the National Assembly of Sportsmen's Caucuses from around the country. He's been president of that, or chairman of that, for a couple of years, and a very influential member of our General Assembly, Senator Astell from Anne Arundel County. Like I said, a very avid sportsman, hunter, fisherman, loves to hunt, loves to fish. And John has asked the department the pertinent questions. Where's the money come from? Where's the money go? What's it all about? How are you getting funded? And that type of thing. And there are charts, there are comparisons, there are explanations. For example, let's just go back to total funding here. In 2009, $10,475,000. In 2010, $10,119,000. In 2011, $9,797,000. $9,797,000 in 2012, $9,373,000, and on it goes down, 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 down. There's not enough money to run the department. Personnel are going to have to go. Programs are going to have to go. Research is going to have to go if the money doesn't come in. And this is what we tried to tell you last year. It was just poorly put. Let's talk to. Let's see. We got Joseph in Glen Burnie. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Better to be deserved.
Good. What's up?
I just here talking about, you know, raising the fees and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, if there is, I mean, I look at it as I call myself a Christian constitutionalist, and I think we should be following the Constitution. But if there isn't as many hunters, well, we don't need as many staffing. And I personally would love to go hunting. But I don't like it that DNR can come in there at any time they want and stop. You know, you're up in your tree stand, and you're hunting, and here comes the DNR guy, spooks the woods and everything.
Hey, guess what, Joseph? Hey, Joseph, hold on just a minute. That's just a BS excuse. You just don't want to go. You don't want to put the effort in. You don't want to put the time in. I'd love to go, but DNR, I have been checked a total of twice in 45 years.
Well,
what?
I have property up in Old Town, Maryland.
Yeah.
And I have probably every 3 years at, you know, DNR come through for whatever reason. And I mean, I just find it, you know, that, you know, if there isn't as many hunters, you know, we cut the budget. I mean, we're as a
it's not that there's not as many hunters. It's more expensive to do these things, and the general funds is what's been dried up. General funds. Now, listen, it's all in the thing. If you're that interested, send me an email. I'll send you the thing. You can take a look at it.
I will take a look at it. I am very upbeat. But here's my thing. As a country, we're $16 trillion in the debt, and if you understand anything about the Maryland budget, this time Maryland, to operate the budget this year, actually sold bonds. We will be paying 40 years. For Maryland's budget.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
You can't continue to, you know, operate this way. Things have to go, you know?
All right, Joe. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate that, boy. We've got three callers on the line, and I think that at that point, after we talk to all these three, we're going to pull the drawing. Okay, let's talk to Butch and Denton. Good morning, Butch. Thanks for waiting.
No problem. enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I went out yesterday deer hunting.
Yeah.
And I killed a doe, a nice doe, but I'm sorry I did it. As I was coming down a tree stand, I looked over where I hit it in the neck. It was dead kill. At 10 feet away was a fawn.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's no good. So,
well, was the fawn big enough to be weaned?
It still had spots on the stomach around the belly.
Woo, okay. Well, that happens.
So, anyway, I went back to get my four-wheeler, pull it out to this road,
yeah,
dirt road, and I started pulling. I turned around and looked, and there's the damn fawn.
Oh, man, that's gotta be discouraging.
Man, I really, really felt bad. I wish I didn't shot that deer, I tell you.
Yeah, well, that happens, I know.
You ever have that experience?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. Yeah, not discover the fawn later, but I'm hesitant to shoot a doe with fawns, you know, when they're with her, unless it's a management program, and then I don't have a problem with it. But I've not had – that was probably a doe of this year, a yearling doe, I'm guessing, with her late fawn. So,
and I was wondering, will that fawn survive?
Yeah, should. Should be fine. If it was weaned, it should survive.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Butch. Thanks for calling from Denton. There goes Butch. Let's talk to, where's Gerald? Gerald in his car. I thought I'd just talk to you, Gerald. Gerald, hello? I must have skipped Gerald. Gerald, call back. Let's talk to George in Pasadena. Good morning, George. How are you? Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. Listen, that one guy.
Yeah.
Talk about why the budget is down.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with them somewhat.
Yeah.
Not per se that the people come into the woods and chase you out, the DNR. But they close up all the access to all the forest where you have to. You know, I'm 71. I can't walk and carry a deer 2 miles, pull a deer out.
Yeah.
Now, where I hunt at down Eastern Shore, right below Shad Landing State Forest.
Right.
And the forest there. Now, I used to drive in that forest years ago. I've been hunting 45, 50 years down
right.
there.
Right, yeah.
And I used to go in the forest and drive my vehicle into the forest.
Well, that changed a
deer,
all that.
I might only be a half a block away or a quarter block away to get
right.
my deer to the vehicle. Now you cannot get into access to any forest down there. You have to walk a mile or 2 miles into the forest. If you get a deer,
yep.
you've got problems.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and that's what I see. Why I used to see hunters and hunters of hunters down there, and when they closed the forest up, they just left and never come back.
Yep.
Now, the budget, I'm sure they probably need the money, but
they
I'm
do.
Sure they waste a lot of money. Now, I ain't talking about the DNR men itself. I'm talking about this government here.
Well,
now,
no
they
doubt.
Waste money on different things, and they take money and use it for here. It just goes on and on and on, and it's they make a lot of money off the sports people. I guess the boating, the hunting, the equipment, taxes, they make a lot of money off of that. But they don't use it for what they should, that stuff.
That's your opinion, George.
Okay.
Yep. All right, buddy.
All right,
thanks for the call. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, let's see. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. 10, 11, pulling tickets, 12, 13, there we go. All right. What are these? What numbers do we got here? All right, here we go. You got to give me a minute, folks. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back from the break, we will we'll pull the drawing. And I'm just, wow, so much going on here. Let me tell you about Sam's Deer Processing out in Finksburg. You know, Sam is located on 2060 Bollinger Mill Road, and Sam passed away last year. The family continues the great tradition of deer processing started by the founder, Sam, and they're doing it Sam's way. Now, Sam has the formula for Maryland's most popular deer bologna, but more importantly, they know how to custom cut, wrap, label, and freeze your deer. They skin it, they hang it. Wait till it's aged to perfection, then they cut it to your specifications. All the venison specialties are available. Jerky, chipped deer, sausage, kielbasa, bologna, as I mentioned, deer hams, patties, hot dogs, snack sticks, even deer bacon. So, why not take your deer to Sam's Deer Processing on Bollinger Mill Road in Finksburg, right off Route 32 between Eldersburg and Westminster, 410-795-4670. 410-795-4670. They can also skin your buck for that custom trophy mount that you like for, you know, if you want to get a shoulder mount or something like that. They know how to do that. They have the skill to do that. Let me tell you about Clyde Sports Shop here real quick. And that is 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you need anything for hunting or fishing, Clyde Sports Shop is where you get it. They're your fishing and hunting headquarters. They've been around since 1957. You can check out all the details on the website, clydesports.com. Full complement of firearms, rifles, handguns, shotguns, muzzle loaders, including the Thompson Center muzzle loaders. They've got compound bows. They've got crossbows. Gunsmithing and scopes mounting, if I didn't mention it, there it is again if I did. But the phone number is 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. They're open 7 days a week and accept all major credit cards. It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through a participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well anytime to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. And now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'll keep my freedom. I'll keep my guns. Try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working. Try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes, pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8. Keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business, and y'all can keep the change.
Y'all can keep the change. Thank you, Hank. We appreciate that. Hasn't been much. Well, there's been a tremendous change in this country, hasn't there? Well, now it's time to announce the Winner of the muzzleloader. Second prize, and we'll send the package out to Paul Miles. Congratulations, Paul. And the winner is, drum roll, please. Let me find the man's name right here. Thank you all for entering as far as entering online and entering and calling in. Chuck Hannon just won the muzzleloader right here on the Outdoors and Radio Show. That's a CVA Wolf from the fine folks at CVA. We appreciate that, and we'll be getting in touch with you, Chuck, to get your address, and CVA will ship that muzzleloader right to you. Congratulations, Chuck Hannon, who won our muzzleloader contest for the month of October. But stay tuned, because anybody that's in there now, from here on out, including the two callers now, will be in the November contest. You didn't get their phone number? All right. Well, we got Andy and Joseph in Baltimore City. Put them right on there, and then we'll put a new sheet up. Okay, let's talk to Andy in Catonsville. Thanks for waiting real long. What's up? Andy? Andy couldn't hang. Joseph in Baltimore. You still with me, Joseph? Joseph. Joseph, are you there? Joseph?
Hello. Yeah.
Oh, thanks for waiting. I appreciate that. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I called in to try and get in on the contest, and congratulations to the two winners.
No, exactly. Well, you're in the next one.
That's exactly right, and that's wonderful. I also wanted to say I don't get to do as much hunting. One of the things, though, that of course, we fishermen send an awful lot of money in, and they don't tend to spend it on anything to do with fishing there as much as they should.
Everybody has a complaint about what the government does or doesn't do with their money. Everybody has a complaint. So,
well, just remember that politics is a compound word made up of the word poly, meaning many, and ticks, meaning blood-sucking insects.
Aha! Good one. I like that. Thank you very much. That's a good one. Hey, Joseph, I appreciate the call. If you have any interest in this, drop me an email. I'll be more than glad to send this out to anybody, this white paper put together by the foundation. And anybody can have access to it. It'll be on the website next week. If you like it, send me an email. I don't know how else to get it to you. It is an electronic document. But I appreciate you calling and your interest, Joseph. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Take care. There he goes. Whew. I'm worn out. And we missed talking.